How's your garden doing, Earl?
Not good. Nothing's coming up.
What seeds did you plant?
Seeds? Was I supposed to plant seeds?
Things don't just happen. It gets done on purpose.
Growing in Christ takes discipline and habit.
Get off your butt and do it.
Go to the Speaking Deacons Essentials list only at thespeakingdeacon.com.
Speakingdeacon.com.
Prepare yourselves for the brain-stretching conclusion to this Bible-centric message. TheSpeakingDeacon.com. Truth is here.
2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Are you getting this? Pretty deep. And then the passive, that was the active part. Jesus lived a righteous, sinless life. That's the active part. The passive part is Jesus receiving the wrath of God. For he says in Luke 22:42, where he says, "Yet not my will, but yours be done," when he was agonizing over the cross that he knew was coming. So Romans 4:23-25 says, "The words, it was credited to him," referring to Abraham. I'm sorry, I'm going to confuse you here for a second. We're talking about credit, credited to righteousness. And Abraham was credited with righteousness because he believed God. And it ends with this: "The words that was credited to him were written for not him alone, but also for us, in whom God will credit righteousness." Did you get that part? Credit righteousness for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. That's key. When you or I and our friends or neighbors say, "Why are you going to heaven? You think you're good enough?" You can be the first person to say, "No, I'm the most vile, evilest sinner I could be, and I couldn't even imagine how bad off I was, and I'm still worse than that. I'm the worst sinner there is. I'm going to heaven, buddy. How about you?" Who are you? His righteousness is on me, and my sin died with him. So let me see if I can't do an example. Jason, come on up here. I don't know, but you stay down there, so that way I can be eye to eye with you. Okay, so here's the sinful nature, right? We all have one, and I ain't no Jesus. Let's say this pulpit is Jesus. So what happens is this. Without Christ, our lost family and friends, there they are. They're walking around with their sinful nature. They're the first to say, "I'm not perfect, but God's going to grade me on the curve, and I'm going to heaven anyway." Clearly, they don't understand the righteousness of God, and they blaspheme God, and then they say to Jesus, "I don't need you." And it's incredibly insulting, and they're in deep, deep trouble, aren't they? Now, for the Christian, what happens is they say, "Yikes, I do have nothing left to live for. I'm doomed." And at some point, they go to Jesus, "Do whatever it takes. Save me from this mess. Save me from hell. Save me from the wrath of God that is coming." Because remember, the sinner, God's anger and wrath is still on them. Yes, God so loved the world. That's half the story. That whoever believes in Jesus won't have that wrath of God still on them. Everyone else, they're one breath away from the wrath of God. God is ready to kill them. Just to make sure we understand the ramifications here. So the person yields to Christ, and we'll unpack that some other day. And what happens is that sinful nature is put on Jesus, and God's wrath goes whoosh, and unloads back on Jesus, and boom, it all happens. Jesus is raised from the dead. Jesus' cloak of righteousness is now given to that sinner. And so now every time God the Father goes, "Oh, I see my son." Do you got it? So there is nothing our volunteer here could do, Jason could do now, to ever lose this cloak of righteousness. He could leave here today in sin, and we will, and that will never leave him, and God will never have his wrath on him again. He will see the righteousness of Christ. And now the work of justification is over. There is nothing more that can be done to save this man. Jesus cannot go on the cross again. It's all over. He is saved, signed, sealed, and delivered. And it literally says that God gives us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee And it says that in Ephesians twice. He can't lose something that he never earned or gained. It's a gift. Isn't that cool? So now it's growing up. It's all growing up. Here, you can sit down. Keep that on. Keep that on.
Can't lose it.
Can't lose it. So how do we respond? Well, rest, diet, and exercise. That's how we respond. And of course, I'm referring to the spiritual sense. Here's a verse from Philippians 2:12 that says, "So then, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but even now, more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." And I've mentioned this before. It always bears mentioning again. It says, work out your salvation. It does not mean work for your salvation. There's a huge difference. All your friends and family who reject Christ are working for their salvation. They believe there's some cosmic scale, and they're hoping they're going to make enough of it. And of course, the Christian knows better. We'll never make enough righteousness. God says our righteousness is filthy rags. Well, we have is Christ. We work out. We exercise. All right? Elmo size. That's what we do. And of course, we have Romans 8:10. "But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, but your spirit is alive because of Christ." And then Romans 13:14. "Rather, clothe yourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think how to gratify the desires of your sinful nature." The sinful nature is still in us. We still have a sin-cursed body. We didn't stop aging. We didn't stop getting pains and ailments as a Christian. That part of the curse is still with us. But the final judgment, the sting of death is gone for the Christian. To live is Christ and to die is gain. We rest in Christ. There is nothing more you can do to add to your ticket to heaven. It's done. But diet, feed your brain. Work on this stuff. I gave you some deep stuff today. Know it. Know it. If any of you can tell me the metric system of your ratchet set, if you can tell me who won the Super Bowl 5 years ago, you can know this. So I don't want to hear it. We can all know it. It's our responsibility to grow up in Christ, to grow up, to work out our salvation. And that's part of the exercising. Feed your brain. Don't be afraid to fill it with goodness. And we end with this. Really, we do end with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14 through 16. "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who should live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and who was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once even regarded Christ this way, we do so no longer." Christ's love compels us. That's why you need to understand what salvation is, because the more we understand it, the more we're going to fall in love with our Creator and say, "I so did not live a worthy life today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I can rest in that salvation and I don't have to work for it anymore." And then you'll find your heart wanting to do more as an expression of love, not as an expression of obligation. There's a huge difference. So let's pray. I hope that came across to some coherent degree. I'll practice better next time. All right, let's pray. Father God, your truths are so rich and so deep, and may we grasp it. We need to work out our brains. We need to grow up and get it. This is the real deal. This is the steel girders of the mighty fortress that cannot be shaken. We need to know this, Father. Help us in our brains to grasp this more and more and more, that we can stand strong on the firm foundation that will take us all the way to the gates of heaven. And may we somehow communicate this to our loved ones, that they don't have to go to hell, and certainly they don't have to be judged by their works. Please help our family and friends not to want that. Yikes. Help them to fall under the judgment of Christ and be saved from hell. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
From Bibles, websites, to theology, apps, to blogs, there are so many fantastic resources for Christians. Get the latest news and reviews on what is out there to help you grow in Christ. TheSpeakinDeacon.com. Truth is here.